Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
All God is asking us, you and I, when we go through trials, when we go through afflictions, when we go through relational issues, when we have wayward children sometimes that we're praying for, when we have financial issues, whatever life brings you, one of the things we're going to look back in the life of King David this morning is that he worshiped God through it. He praised God. He gave him glory. He thanked God. No matter how difficult it was. And so I'm excited about this morning's message. And let me situate this right up here. And then we're going to get started. Amen. So allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus is Worthy to be Praised. Jesus is worthy to be praised. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 154. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, is we're going to look at the life of King David. King David had a heart after God. Throughout the scripture, he's the only person in biblical record where God allowed the prophet and those who would write the books in the Old Testament to identify King David as a person who had a heart after God. And despite of his failures, despite of sometimes David would do face plants. Yes, he committed adultery. He did all kinds of things. He tested God to the limit. But when God would speak to him, one of the things that David never did is he never cursed God. He never blamed God. And though God allowed him to go through pain and suffering in the things that God allowed him to be involved in his life, he always gave God praise and glory. And when you look at the book of Psalms, the majority of it was written by King David, and it was worshiping the Lord. Did you know there are many songs today that are from the book of Psalms? Amen. And we can now glean and look back to a life that gave God glory and honor and praise. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 154, and let's read the Word of God. And it reads, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Praise God. Verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. As you can see right now, he's exalting the Lord. He's praising God. He's telling God how majestic he is. Verse 7. And they shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Amen. Amen. So I have a question right up here. What do you think would be the hardest part of living life as a fugitive and constantly being on the run from authorities. That was King David. That was King David. You see, when the prophet came to the house of Jesse, because Saul, the king at the time, Saul, not Saul of Tarsus in the New Testament, this is King Saul back in the times of David. Saul was voted by the people, but not appointed by God. You see, Israel wanted a king like the heathen nations. All the heathen nations had a king, had a man ruling over them. And Israel said, why can't we have a man ruling over us? And so they didn't want God to be their authority anymore. So they chose a man, and they chose his physical attributes. The Bible says that King Saul was, he was wonderful. He was yoked up. And everyone adored him. But inside King Saul, he was corrupt. He was rebellious. And so God said, I need to raise up another king. And so the prophet came to the house of Jesse and looked at all the men that were there. And one by one, the prophet would go to each son. No, you're not it. No, you're not it. No, you're not it. So after he went through all the sons, he said, there's got to be another son because God sent me here. Oh, yeah, we got a little ruddy kid. He's out in the fields pasturing the sheep. He goes, take me to him. The Bible said he was like a little redhead kid. But little did we know until we read the scriptures, this little David, he destroyed the lion and the bear that would come after the sheep. And God was with him. So when they brought him to King David, the prophet knew that that was going to be the next king and anointed him. And from that moment on, after he was chosen to be the next king, the king at the time, King Saul, welled up with jealousy toward David. And as David grew, David became good friends with the son of Saul, Jonathan, and they were best of friends. But yet King Saul despised David, hated him, even threw spears at him. Why? Because he was jealous of the anointing that was upon him. And so we read there were times when David would have to flee and run for his life. Now, David could have rose up men and came after Saul and destroyed him and just took over the kingdom that way. But no, not King David. King David honored who was in the position, which was Saul. He honored him. And he didn't touch him. And through his persecution and through his trials and running from enemies, and not only just King Saul, but even the Philistines, the armies of the heathen nations would rise up and they would pursue and try to destroy David. But we read that through it all, he worshiped God. Despite of being lonely, despite of being by himself, and some of us, during times of trials, we seem like we're all alone. We seem like there's nobody with us. Yet we could call all of our neighbors, all of our friends, we could call our cousins and aunts and uncles, our moms, our dads, our grandparents, and they'll bring a comforting word. But when we hang up and when they're not in our presence, we find ourselves still alone. And this is King David. When he felt that he was all alone, he knew one thing to do, and that was to worship God, to praise him, to glorify him, to thank him even for the heaviness, the trial that's upon him. And so we're going to look at several principles this morning to help build us up, to let us know that if God was with King David, God is with us today. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whatever God did then, he can do it again today. And that's to pull us out of the muck and mire. Because many of us, sometimes, we fall into the snare of the devil. But also, sometimes, I'm not saying all times, we did it to ourselves. And even when we do it to ourselves, God is still merciful. God is still gracious. God will still come and save our bacon. Oh, yes, he will. So let's look at this. God is worthy of worship. Can I get amen? So saints, King David could have easily have fallen into the trap that many of us do when we face reversals, trials, and troubles in our lives. David could have easily have blamed God. Now, that's what we do sometimes, is we'll blame God. Well, why God? Why did you allow this God? Well, that ain't fair, God. God is just. God is merciful. God is loving. And he could have asked how God could allow him, the hero of Israel, the slayer of Goliath, to be hunted like a dog across the deserts and mountains of Israel running from Saul. He could have easily whined and had a pity party. Oh, woe is me. But while we do at times see David being heartbreakingly honest with God in his desperate situations of life, far more often we see him worshiping and praising God despite of his predicament. I'm hoping that this message will hit home, that this message will speak to us. Whatever you're going to go through, maybe you're not in a situation, and maybe you're about to enter into a predicament, or maybe you're in one right now, and you see no end to it. I'm here to let you know, praise will see you through. Worshiping God. I know it's tough. The flesh don't want to praise God. No, I'm not going to praise God. I need to cry here for a moment. We go through that because we live in this body of flesh. But when we put that flesh behind us and start worshiping God in the spirit, that's when the joy comes. Can I get amen? That's when the joy comes. So David decided, as we must as well, that no matter what the circumstances of life will bring to us, God is still worthy to be worshiped. He's still worthy. Can I get amen? So let's look at 1 Samuel 20. I'm going to read this out of the Living Translation. Let's look at this. I want you to catch this for a moment. David now fled from Naoth to Ramah and found Jonathan. Jonathan was King Saul's son, and they were best of friends. And look how this transpires here. "What have I done?" he exclaimed. "Why is your father so determined to kill me?" Jonathan had no clue. But King Saul was after David's head. And so Jonathan says, "That's not true." Jonathan protested, "I'm sure he's not planning any such thing, for he always tells me everything he's going to do, even little things. And I know he wouldn't hide something like this from me. It just isn't true. It is not so." Now, let's look at verse 3 here. "Of course you don't know about it," David fumed. "Your father knows perfectly well about our friendship. So he has said to himself, 'I'll not tell Jonathan. Why should I hurt him?' But the truth is that I'm only a step away from death, and I swear it by the Lord and by your own soul." David knew that his father was hunting him down like a dog, and he wanted to kill him. Why? Because he still wanted to remain the king, because the people wanted him there, but God really didn't want Saul there. God was raising up David. So let's look at our second point here. God is to be feared above all gods. Can I get amen? Saints, worship is connected to holy reverence or fear of God. And so we're going to go through some of the Psalms, and we're going to see how David exalted, how David praised, even through the affliction, even through the turmoil, through the loneliness, through the oppression. And even when depression tried to set in, he knew how to get a hold of God. And God is saying to us today, learn how to get a hold of God when things are not going your way. Listen, when COVID hit, it derailed the church across the land. There's still people not coming back. There's still people are afraid to come back. But I'm here to let you know that if God is for us, who can be against us? Can I get an amen? God will raise a standard. God will put a shield and buckler around us. If you honor the King, if you're walking by faith and not by sight, God will see you through all the situations that life can bring you and I. Despite how ugly it may look, despite how hard it may seem, despite how, oh God, only you can help me and fix this thing that I'm in. Let me just say this, if you're a child of God, he will see you through. But here's the good news too. God is merciful even to the unbelieving world. Did you know that? Listen, let's just say your home is sanctified, spirit-filled. You're living for God. You've driven out those dark things in your home, and now it's like a sanctuary where people will come to your home and they'll feel the presence of God, the peace of God. And your next door neighbor is an unbeliever, right? They have parties all night. You know, you have to close your window sometimes and just block it out because, you know, the boop, 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 and all that is going on next door. But yet, the sun still rises for them. When it rains, it still waters their garden. God still gives them air to breathe. This is God's mercy. He's good to the just and to the unjust. And this is why David understood, I'm not going to touch King Saul. He's my king. I'm going to honor him despite of how he feels about me. Ask yourself this, people in your life that you can truly just turn a notch up inside and say, I hate that person. Look what they did. This man was trying to kill David, and yet he never spoke ill about King Saul. Let us learn from this. Let us be slow to speak. Let us just worship God through our situation. Why? Because God's going to see you through it. There is victory at the end of your trial. There's victory at the end of the situation that's taken place in your life. But as you go through it, learn to be like King David, to worship him, to praise him, to give him all the glory, despite of the situation at hand. Let's look at some of these scriptures right here. Look at this in Psalms 96:6. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. Saints, it is an understanding of who God is. Can I get an amen? Look at this. In Psalms 96:4-5, look at this. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Praise God. Get the little gods out of our life. There's some things that we sometimes go to and worship sometimes and not even knowing we're worshiping it. Remove those things out of our life and put God first. Look at this. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord has made the heavens. Praise God. And his mercies are new every morning. Saints, David saw the fear of the Lord as a positive thing. Now, when it talks about the fear of the Lord, it's not like, oh, I'm scared of God, let me hide. No, it's reverence toward God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created me. And so because he did that type of miraculous work, we should have reverence now for him and be in awe of him. That's all the fear of the Lord means in this context. And so, look at Psalms 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his mercy. How many of you can honestly say that my hope is in Christ? Amen. Praise God. I saw two hands go up. Man, praise God. Praise God. Lord, work on the rest of us. Jesus. Saints, God allowed David to see that. And look at Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. My goodness. I could be here all morning and all night sharing the things that God has saw me through. And how many of you can honestly say God has delivered you in one way or another in situations of your life? And if he did it then, he can still do it again. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get amen? And his mercies endureth forever. Praise God. Praise God. But I love where it says he encamps his angels around you. Listen, this should be great comfort to know that if you're honoring God, he has appointed angels that you cannot see with the natural eye, but they're there. They're there to watch over you, to guard you, to comfort you. That's right. Oh, you'll know too when they come into your presence. They bring heaven with them. My goodness, praise God. Saints, even in the cave where David was hiding out, David could worship because he was certain that his mighty God had deliverance waiting for him. How many of you are going through such a huge trial right now, but you can see at the end that there is deliverance in it, that there's mercy and grace, that God's going to resolve your issue? Well, King David understood that. This is why he did not freak out. This is why that he didn't turn around and curse God. Because as a child, God empowered him to kill the bear, to kill the lion. And so as a child, David never forgot what God did for him. So as he grew as an adult, he can look back to say, man, God, you spared me from that bear. You allowed me to kill that thing that was coming after the flock. And so when it was time that a real situation arose, no differently than a bear or a lion, but a man now coming to kill him, he knew that God was with him. And all he had to do is rely on God. Look at this, number three. Creation worships the Lord. Did you know creation worships the Lord? Look at this. And King David wrote this. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything. Did you know when you wake up in the morning, you hear the birds chirping? They're worshiping God. Your dogs, when they wake up, when they bark. I go, what's he barking at? What's Chikaroo barking at? There's no one at the door. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, he's worshiping. Ooh. He's alive. You know what? They are happy to be alive. And you know what? This is why, did you know, let me just share this about, especially with a dog. You can chastise a dog, send him to the corner, and try to implement discipline, and he'll be right there. But as soon as you say, come here, they come running to you wagging their tail. That's a true worshiper. They will not hold anything against you. Even if you have to take a newspaper to their hind part. Come on. They will still run to you when you call them. That was King David. King David did the same thing. He came running to God because he knew God would be his all in all. God would rescue him. God would save him. So we see that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Look what I found here in Romans right here. In Romans 8:18, in the Living Bible translation, look what it says. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. I don't care what you're going through right now. God's going to have something greater for you. He's going to have the best plan for you. Look at this. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for all that future day when God will resurrect his children. Meaning, okay, I know it's hard to bear right now, but when God comes for us, he's going to give us the brand new bodies. glory. We're going to live forever with him. Sometimes we have to look that far ahead to know that, okay, I'm going through something so severe right now, but I'm looking at the end game. I'm looking at the end. I'm saying that, you know what? As I go through this, I'll praise him and worship him, but all in all, he's going to come and take me home with him. Can I get an amen? He may not resolve your issue on earth, but when we are transformed and we become the new creatures in Christ and that new body, then you can honestly say what's written right here on this plaque, it is finished. Amen. See, he finished the work on the cross. When he comes and takes us home, he will finish the work in us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for that future day when God will resurrect his children. Look at this. For on that day, thorns and thistles, sin, death, and decay, the things that overcame the world against it, its will at God's commandment will all disappear. How many can't wait for all that to disappear? Listen, if you put your hand in a snake hole and there's a rattlesnake living in it, I think 95% of the time you'll get bit, won't you? All those things will be gone. There'll be none of that no more. There won't be predators in the animal kingdom. The lamb will sleep with the wolf, with the lion. God's going to make all things new. So we need a paradigm change. We need to say, okay, God, this present moment right now, yes, it's painful. Yes, God, but I'm looking at the greater glory. I'm looking at that day. When it comes, I'll be with you forevermore. And yes, God can heal you right now. God can fix that situation right now. God can, yes, he can. Don't shortchange God in nothing. Because I've seen him do marvelous things with me. And I've seen some things that he's done with you. Look at this. And the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin, which God's children enjoy. Listen, how would you love to have a mind that no longer has sin in it? We can't even imagine that, huh? Man, as soon as someone gives a dirty look, it's like, what up? We want to get in their grill right away, huh? What up, man? What's up with that look? No, all that will be gone. It'll be gone. Man, back in the day, oh my gosh, I won't even go there. You know me, I grew up in National City. I all my friends, we all hung out at El Toyon Park. I grew up with the Salamuas, yes. I grew up with the Aviz, oh yes. These were big guys, but they let me hang with them. You know why? Because I was a tough little guy. Not anymore. Now I'm just strong in Christ. He has transformed me. And I'm waiting for that greater change like every one of us here. Can I get amen? Yes. Look at this. It says, for we know that even the things of nature like animals, plants, suffer in the sickness and death as they await for this great event. Even the trees, the birds, everything is waiting for everything to be renewed. That should bring great hope that God has something so glorious for you and I that love him. And so, saints, all creation points to a creator. All creation worships the Lord with the single possible exception in us. Humanity alone of all God's creation has free will. We're the only ones that have free will. And so because God has given us free will, God is saying, choose you whom you will serve this day. You see, if we choose God, despite of your situation, God will be with you. God will watch over you. God will see you through. But the people that don't trust God, they go through the same things we do with much greater heartache because they don't know God. They don't know that God could be the God of all comfort to them. And so the sun shines forth God's glory. The moon reflects God's glory. And the stars remind us of what God's glory is. And his infinite majesty. Number 4, look at this. We will worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise God. Saints, worship goes much deeper than singing and shouting and dancing. David said it best. He said it right here. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And so, saints, it could be argued that holiness brings even more glory to God than our praise and worship at church just on Sunday. It is possible to sing and shout on Sunday, but then go out and live in a way that doesn't bring God any glory. So God is saying, is worship me like you worship me on Sunday. Worship me every day. And watch what I'm going to do with you. Because let me tell you, God knows everything about us. He knows the beginning. Listen, before he even spoke the whole entire universe into existence, he already knew your name. He already saw you at your birth. Well, no, take it back. He saw you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. And then he allowed you to come forth into this world. And all of us that are here in this room right now, we're not here by accident. Can I get amen? It is God's providence. It is the providence of God, meaning every one of us in this room and churches across the land right now have purpose. We all have purpose with God. There's a purpose why God brought you forth. Some of you may not see it. It may be foggy, it may be not so clear, but God every day is going to show you, and pretty soon that blurry vision will become HD. And for some of you, it'll become even greater vision, like 4K. You'll see clearly the plan of God for your life. I didn't know my plan. I just knew that I was so happy to be saved at the age of 30. What he delivered me from, I looked back and I saw all the things I was doing was of the devil. And then God just said, trust me now, walk with me. And I'm going to show you great and mighty things. And he absolutely has. And so, saints of God, how many believe that God is worthy, so worthy to be praised? So if we truly have fear, awesome, and reverence and respect for God, it will not only come out in our praise, but it will also manifest in the way we live day to day. Praise God. Number five, look at this. God is greatly, greatly, greatly. Say that with me. Say this with me. God is greatly to be praised. Amen. Amen. King David said it best. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. When we come into a sanctuary like this, his holy presence is here. And we're in awe of him. This is why we sing. This is why we praise. This is why we shout. This is why we honor. The worship team is here strategically by God. And all the churches around the country, around the world, God raises up worship teams so that we can enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Can I get amen? We serve a mighty God. Praise God. And some say worship is what we do because of God and the praise that is due to his name to be a continual act of adoration toward him. Can I get amen? David made this connection between praise and other people when he wrote this. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Now, I need you to see nations. We think it's other countries, but if you look at the word nation in the Greek context, it's ethnicities. And look, we are so diverse in here. We have Filipino, Mexican, we have white, we have Samoan, we have Asian. God has brought us amongst the nations to what? To worship him, to praise him. We're all in one accord. And that's what God has done, and he's going to continue to do that. See, God doesn't look at skin color. We all have the same color of blood. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're all one people. And God has created us so beautifully. And in every ethnicity, there's beautiful, wonderful saints of God. And then there's some that are about to become saints of God. Can I get amen? That's right. Never give up on your friends and family. Never give up. Keep praying for them. Watch God do the miraculous. God will raise them up like he raised us up. Can I get amen? All you have to do is be a light before them. Speak truth and honor the king. And guess what? God will bring you that spiritual, that divine connection with them. And they'll see that what you have is real. And they'll want that. That's the key. That's the key, my friends, is to be real with God. And God will make you real amongst the people in your life. And they will see something so awesome. And they'll want what you have. And guess what? God will give it to them just like he gave it to us. Can I get amen? So saints, whether we are aiming our praises to God directly or praising them to others around us, we certainly have a lot to praise God for. Listen, this Thursday, we're going to get together with families, right? And I hope it's not like this at your home where, uh-oh, here they come. Close the blinds. Muzzle the dog. No. You want your family to come and you wanna rejoice with them, right? Some of them you haven't seen in a while. How you doing? Amen. And some of us are gonna have a spread that we're gonna just like, oh, I ate too much. But those are fun times. Those are exciting times to be with your family, to rejoice with them, and to share the love of God with them. You know, you want to truly win someone to God? Love on them. You know, it's easy to go, oh, you need to repent. Look at that. And then while you're doing that, there's three looking right back at you. Oh, come on. Listen, God, when God drew me to the cross, he did it through love. He didn't beat me on the head with a bat. He didn't do a Fred Flintstone on me. Bam! You knucklehead. I'm calling you. No, he allowed those things in my life to unravel so that I would turn to him with my whole heart. And then once he got a hold of my heart, it was done. There's an old saying, you could put a fork in it. He made all things brand new for me. And he's done beautiful things in your life. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, I hope you know that we're all a work in progress. Can I get amen? Amen. Ain't none of us arrived. We can't be above others. So, you know, this is where I'm at now. Are you still down there? Oh, come on. We as believers need to be the servants of all. We, what can I do for you? How can I help you? You know, what can I pray for you? You know, and when they see the love of God, then King David said it best, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. What, you know what blessed my heart? Because I grew up in the South Bay. I didn't grow up in Mid-City or North County. I didn't do that. But when I was there at Madison's game, the beautiful family of Louisa and Fa'alo was, I saw generations there. I saw generations. And I saw the beauty of God upon all of them. And it just reminded me of this scripture right here. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to what? All generations. So from years past into our present time, God is blessing us. He's poured out his blessings. He's letting you know that I am good to you all. Do not fear God. Just reverence him. Hang on to him. Why? Because in our sixth principle, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Saints, think for a moment how important it is that the Lord is good. God is all powerful. Imagine if he were evil instead of good. A lot of us wouldn't be around. He would have crushed us like this. I'm done with you. Long time ago. The moment we sin. Aren't you so blessed that his mercy, every morning we wake up and his mercy is there for us. God is saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. I will do what man cannot do. I will lift you up. I will take the burden from you. I will take the affliction, because you got to remember, everything was on the cross. He took death, hell, and the grave. And so the Bible says in Isaiah that by his stripes we are healed. And so when you come into that saving knowledge with God, guess what? Your soul becomes healed. And when your soul is healed before God, everything starts to fall in place now. Everything starts to become good in your life, even in trials. We're not immune from trials. We're not immune from setbacks. But we now know that God is with us. How many believe that all gifts, good gifts, come from God? Huh? Yes, they do, huh? And the Word of God personifies this. The Word of God can instill truth to us. There's a song that's been resonating in my heart these last few days. Look What You've Done. It's by Tasha Layton. And oh my gosh, when you hear the words on how a lot of us would believe the lie until God's truth comes in. And then once we come into his presence, then he starts uprooting all those things that we once believed, and they were lies of the devil. We start to learn God's truth. We start to learn how good he is, how great he is. And he doesn't look at us like we look at each other or the situation that we're facing, because some situations of life are so difficult. Even Einstein couldn't figure out your situation. But God can. Look what it says right up here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So when God brings his goodness upon you, it is the best the world has to offer. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed to know that? Look at our seventh point. We're coming in for a close. Look at this. God's mercy is what? Everlasting. Everlasting. Saints, God's mercy never expires. It is new every morning. There's a song, I believe, regarding this. Time and time again, David would sin and fall. We saw that in his life. We saw his adulterous act with Bathsheba. We saw the turmoil in that family. But yet, God still had mercy with him. You know why? Because he had a heart after God. When the prophet, real quickly, King David, he came up with a scheme thinking that no one saw it, but God saw it. He should have been with his army, but he was on his balcony and he saw a beautiful woman bathing. And because he's the king, he wanted her. So he sent for her. He found out that his general was married to her. And so he had wives and concubines. He had enough, but he wanted this one. And so he had Bathsheba's husband, who was a general in his army, sent him to the front line of the battle. He knew that he probably wasn't going to last for a couple of hours. And then he was killed. And then he took the wife. And God did not allow that baby that was conceived in her to live. And God showed him his sin. But how did God show him the sin? He sent the prophet to him. And guess what the prophet said to him? I'm going to give you a story. And the story goes like this. There is a man of great wealth. And the neighbor next door didn't have that great wealth. And the wealthy man had all the sheep for this big old bash he was throwing. He was having this great big party. And he had enough sheep to feed an army. But he looked over the fence and he saw that the neighbor had only one sheep. And so he wanted that one sheep instead of taking from his flock. So he took that sheep, the only sheep that this man had, and took everything away. That took away his wealth. And so the prophet came to King David. What would you do in this situation? He said, I would have that man thrown into prison and I would give back that sheep. And the prophet said, you're that man. You took that man's only wife and you had everything that God has given you, even in the midst of your sin. King David could have done one of two things. He could have had the prophet killed, like many kings would have the prophets killed, thrown into dungeons when they would bring forth truth. But what did King David do? He fell on his face before God and he cried out for mercy. He cried out for mercy, oh wretched man that I am. This is the heart that God is looking in each and every one of us, despite of our situations, despite of our shortcomings, despite even if we did it to ourselves, can we fall on our face and say, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, help me. It's easy to blame others. It's easy to just defer it. But can we own it? David had to own it. David had to own it. He knew that he failed God here. And yet God, in his mercy, when David fell on his face, he did a face plant before God. God raised him up, washed him off, and gave him the rest of his plan for him. That's what God will do, despite of ourselves, despite of fumbling and stumbling, and many of us do that. But I'm here to let you know that we have an advocate. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that if you get yourself in a rut, you find yourself in a predicament, when you go to God, he becomes your attorney, in fact. So in other words, Jesus will remove the robe as king and judge, and he will do this. If you're standing right here, he will come in front of you and become your attorney. And he will tell the Father, my blood has covered them. And they're not guilty because they have confessed their sin. Aren't you so blessed to know that there's a way out? There's a way of escape. There's a way of escape through Christ. This is why he is worthy to be praised. No matter what situation you find yourself in, God is there to rescue you. But you have to come to that place sometimes to own it and to cry out like David did. And he cried out. He cried out. Look what it says right here in 1 John 7:10, and we close. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? Some sin? All sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But look at this. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at verse 10 though. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. So the Bible's clear. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And no matter what situation we're in, whether someone done something to you or you've done something to them, it doesn't matter with God. He's looking for your heart. that you would give him your situation and that he would work out all the details in that situation, whether you need healing, whether you need things restored in your life, whether you have a financial setback, whatever the case may be, God wants to work out those things in your life, but you got to give them to him. You can't be alone on an island by yourself. You need him. You need God. Can I get amen? Amen. Saints, we're not perfect, but we are redeemed. We are not perfect, but we are loved. We are not perfect, but we are forgiven and made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. So I remember I saw a license plate in front of me. It said, I'm not perfect, but I've been forgiven. Praise God, we've been forgiven, amen? And so let us have that heart for others. Despite of their wrongdoing, let it go. Don't hold things against them. Can I get an amen? And so I close with this. I will praise and bless the name of the Lord. How many wants to praise and bless the name of the Lord? And this is how you do it. It's very simple, right up here. Give all this what should be our reaction. It's this. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and what? And into this courts with praise. When we came here this morning, we came to praise him. We came to worship him. Listen, when we leave, let's worship and praise him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up right now. Because we're going to praise him. Amen. We're going to honor him. God put this message on my heart because Thanksgiving is around the corner. It's just a few days from now. Can we give thanks, true thanks to God? Can we say, oh God, thank you. Thank you for seeing me through. Listen, we got hit with one of the harshest pestilences known around the world. This was a worldwide pandemic. It was just not here. And yet God saw us through. Praise God. Praise God. We are so blessed of a people. Can I get an amen? Amen? And God is worthy. He is worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. And so right now, our friends on Facebook and YouTube, if you are dialed in right now, maybe it's your first time visiting our website, and you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me for you, that you would surrender your life. No matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult the situation is at hand, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. God wants to bless your life and give you a new walk, a new talk, a new way of presenting yourself to him now. For me, it's been 32 years, and I'm thankful for all 32 years. And I'm asking God, God, keep me healthy, because I want to continue to serve you until you come for me. And every one of us who I truly believe, all of us here, love the Lord. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love God. God is doing something special here at Amazing Grace and those who are logged in. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to ask you right now, those who are logged in, that you would bow your heart and your head and that you would ask God to come into your life. And it's by faith. Step out in faith and trust God and watch him do those miracles only he can do in your life. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory now. Is he worthy? Jesus is worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.